Continuing with the sermon series from Hebrews chapter 11, today's message is based on the Joshua and the walls of the Jericho story. Joshua 6, beginning with verse 1 on page 197 of the Old Testament Pew Bible. Once when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you one of us or one of our adversaries?" He replied, "Neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and he said to him, "What do you command, your servant, my lord?" The commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed Jericho over to you along with its king and soldiers. You shall march around the city, all the warriors circling the city once. Thus you shall do so for 6 days, with seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, the priests blowing the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall charge straight ahead." So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpets, they raised a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people charged straight ahead into the city and captured it. The word of the Lord.
May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we have the story of Jericho, as we're reading in Hebrews 11. Of course, we're thinking about all those people who, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah. And today we get to the story of, by faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And in order for us to reflect more on this story, we have to turn back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapters 5 and 6. And we hear there some words of description about the city of Jericho. You know, thinking about Jericho first and foremost, it is hailed as one of the oldest cities in the world. Excavations reveal that it has been built and rebuilt upon at least 20 times. It's mentioned 64 times in the Bible. It's the location of some of Jesus' finest moments. It's that place where he healed blind Bartimaeus. It's also the location of where he saw that Zacchaeus figure up in the sycamore tree, and he said, "Come on down, for I'm going to your house today." Jericho is also the site of one of those two cities that Jesus talks about in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And of course, for those of us who've maybe gone through the Sunday school route, we know that it's not only the story of some great Bible passages and stories, it's also a tremendous place to find a Sunday school song that goes, "Well, Jericho, Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down." Historically, Jericho has been a very important center, and it is yet today a thriving community. Throughout the centuries, some of its features have been a deep well. And in the middle of a desert, can you imagine how life-giving that is? It's also centrally located to some degree, where you have Jerusalem and Bethlehem to the south, you have Nazareth to the north, and so it was an important trade center as well as strategic control point. Biblically, we know that this little vital city was known for its fortress. Let's just call it a mighty fortress, in which it had a wall that surrounded it. This wall supposedly was 12 feet high and 6 feet thick. It was no small feat to try to penetrate its walls. And if one got through this formidable force, well, good luck. Because within there was a force, an army waiting to be reckoned with. But just good luck. Good luck in scratching the surface of this wall. So we think about Jericho. We think about this wall around it. And this is the lay of the land in which a very young Joshua, who had just taken the reins from his spiritual mentor, a fellow by the name of Moses. And our story brings us right into the promised land. And this particular part of the Bible is known as the conquest of the promised land. See, the children of Israel had wandered 40 years in the desert, and they had come now to the brink, right there on the precipice of the promised land, and they were about to enter into it. This was a land that God had promised to the ancestors some 600 years ago through Abraham. He said that it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Bible describes it. But you know, the local inhabitants, the people who lived there, weren't just going to turn over the keys to the city to the people of Israel, right? In order for Israel to have it, they were going to have to take it. In order for them to take it, they would have to face some difficulties along the way, such as giants, hostile armies, the loss of their own families and children. There would be pain, there would be suffering, there would be bloodshed. And today we hear about another obstacle, that wall. The wall that stood between them and them claiming a part of their promised land. Verse 1 in our Bible story reads, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in." I don't know how many of you might be struggling with a personal wall right now. But we know that when we have a wall that we face, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, it is set in our path and it prevents us from going in and coming out to the places of goodness where God would have us be and do. So what might be one, two, or more of those walls that are separating you from God, you from others, or you from the things that God intends for you to experience? Our walls come in a number of shapes and sizes and colors. There's walls of grief that separates us from loved ones. Walls of fear of failure. That fear of failure may be in a relationship. It may be in a new venture, a job, or a test. Possibly the wall of anger, hurt, or a grudge, particularly when it's been dished out to us by an in-law or an outlaw who we may possibly see this next week or during the holiday season. There's also those invisible walls which occur in our hearts. Some of those may be slow building, but strong building. Sometimes they're between a husband and a wife. There's also the internal walls of jealousy. Jealous over someone who has something that you wish you had, or discontent about the fact that you might not have the number of toys that you had hoped to have had at this particular stage of life. And there's the ever-present walls, the ones of self-worth, indifference, reoccurring temptations, illness, prejudice, loneliness, you name them. Sometimes it's attitude. I'm reminded of a local couple. He was in a pouting mood. She referred to him in German, and some of you who speak German will get this. She referred to him as being mutzi. You know what mutzi is, don't you? Auf Deutsch, that means sulky, grumpy, sour, moody. She said, "Get over your mutziness." Well, he couldn't get over that wall. Maybe he wouldn't get over that wall, because somehow, some way, he felt it was a tall wall, something of an attitude going on inside himself. There's also that very difficult wall that takes root in many of our hearts. It's that wall of struggling with our faith and having doubt, maybe distancing ourselves from the one who seeks to draw us closer and closer. So many walls, a variety of walls. And of course, I think about that Great Wall of China, the one that goes all throughout the countryside, as we can see on the picture right there, winding and twisting so long, so big, we don't even know how to begin dismantling it. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed Jericho over to you, along with its kings and soldiers." God's word is saying that the wall is already down. The victory is already in your hands. And yet, obviously, as we read continuously in the story right there, we also see that they have yet to fight battles. They have yet to shed blood. Joshua will be victorious over Jericho, but they still have to do the hard work of doing their part. It's much like St. Augustine wrote, pray like it all depends on God, and then act. Work like it all depends upon you. And then somehow, some way, by the gift of faith, Jesus in Matthew 17 hits it right on the head where he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will happen. You see, here's the point, and latch onto this big time. We, by faith, come before God and call upon his power, and we ask him to move the wall that we see or the wall that's in me. Two women were in a hospital room together, one in the bed by the door, the other in the bed by the window. The one in the bed by the door, she was bitter. She was bitter, and I can understand that. She was facing some things she didn't want to face. She was upset. She was bitter. And so all she did, all that came out of her mouth was some fussing, cussing, and discussing. So the woman by the window was the recipient of that. She heard that off and on for 2 or 3 days. But in the process of those 2 or 3 days, it was noticed that she would prop up on her elbows and get up on her pillow and stretch her neck and look out the window. Well, the woman by the door noticed this, you know, off and on, especially when she was fussing, cussing, discussing. The lady was looking out the window. So one day she just finally said, she was peeved, and she just finally said, what do you see that is so interesting out that window? The woman propped herself up on her elbows and stretched her neck and looked out that window. She said, I see a park. I see kids playing. There's a lake and sailboats. Seems like there's some people fishing. It seems I see some people who look to be retired and they're feeding the pigeons. I see lovers holding hands and sitting on the bench. And then she would ease back into her bed and lay her head on the pillow. Well, a couple of days later, that particular woman, the woman by the window, got better, and she moved on out of the hospital. So the lady who had been by the door made a special request. She said, nursemate, may I get the window or get the bed by the window so that I can look out the window and see the pretty sights? And the nurse was a little bit puzzled, but she said, well, certainly you can. And so they moved her bed over by the window. After everyone had cleared the room, she got up on her elbow, stretched her neck, looked out, and what did she see? But a brick wall. She slumped back into her bed, into her pillow, and she thought about it. The next day, there was another patient who came in and took the bed by the door. She came in fussing and cussing and discussing, while the woman near the window now would get up on her elbows and peer her neck and look out the window. And one day she asked, what do you see? The lady asked in the bed by the door. And the lady by the window said, I see a lake, and I see parks and children and people. So what does Joshua and the story of Jericho offer us? As we seek to ask God to move the walls that we see and also to move the walls that are within me. 3 points that are in your bulletin that I want to touch on this morning. First and foremost, keep the Lord in the middle. Keep the Lord in the middle. As we look at the actions and the actors of this story, we see that there are warriors. If we were to read that whole story again, we see that there are warriors, that there are priests, and that there is an ark. Not the Noah's Ark. But an Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was a very sacred place that the children of Israel kept their sacred artifacts. In the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, was some of the manna bread that God rained from heavens to help them survive during the years in the desert, and also Aaron's trusty staff. If we continue to read in that story, we know that when they marched around the city, God said, march around the city one time a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times, and then blow your horns and shout. But if we read the story real critically, we see that they had a certain order to their procession. You see that they had the armed guard, they had the soldiers going first. And then they had the priests, and they had the Ark of the Covenant with their sacred artifacts in it. And then they had more warriors. They had more armed forces. Some people ask, why that order? Some people say that it's, well, because they wanted to take their tender things, their spiritual things, their soft targets, and put them in the middle, and put armed guards on either side. I don't think so. I read it just the opposite. They took their spiritual importance, spiritual strength, power, artifacts, and the people who proclaim God's word, and put them in the middle to protect the things that were on the outside. They took their spiritual and they put it right in the center of their struggle. People of God, when we face a wall, God would have us keep our spiritual elements close to our faith, right in the middle of our lives, right in the middle of the wall. Israel kept their spiritual artifacts in the middle of their struggle as they walked around the walls. And so we too are to keep our spiritual resources of faith in the center of us. That means the reading of God's word on a regular basis. That means prayer on a regular basis. That means Christian fellowship and holy communion and study of God's word with others. We are to always keep these central to our faith, but even more so when we're facing a wall. Second point, obey God's way. Notice in the story that as they marched around the city all these times, they never chunked a spear, they never shot an arrow, they never fired a round. Instead, they marched around the city like a high school band playing music to a ram's horn for 7 days in a row. And you can't tell me, you cannot tell me that there wasn't at least one soldier in that group that wanted to pull out his concealed handgun and draw down on the wall. And yet God instructed them to do something different, instructed them to do something counter to their human thinking, counter to their normal behavior, opposite of their way of strength. How many of us, when we're faced with a wall, we want to fight through it? We want to scratch and we want to claw, we want to muscle around it. We want to bust our way out of it. Rather, sometimes God calls us not always to fight fire with fire. I think it's sort of like that parable of when the wind challenged the sun. The wind challenged the sun to a contest to see who could take the farmer's coat off of his back. And the wind said, I'll go first. I know I'm strongest. And so if you know the story, the wind blew and blew and blew, sort of like the wind was blowing yesterday, a cold, blustery northern. He blew strong, he blew powerful, he blew hard. But the harder that the wind blew, the tighter that the man held his coat close to him. The son said, it's my time. And so the son, in a very soft, gentle, but intentional way, just began to glow. And that warm glow increased the temperature. The man, in a very calm way, took off that layer. Walls just don't come crumbling down when we go toe-to-toe, when we go fist-to-fist, head-to-head, or blow-to-blow. God told Israel to take a different path. Go in a different way other than your traditional form of force. And, you know, it's probably very similar to the things that Jesus said. Love those who hate you. Do good to those who persecute you. Forgive those who hurt you. There are times in which force becomes necessary, no doubt, in this broken world of sin. But to remove God's walls, to remove the walls that are in front of us, we are to obey God's way instead of always our human way. And the third is this. It's not just one and done. Note the number of times. The number of times that the troops marched around Jericho, marched around those walls, once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times they went on that seventh day. That's a bunch of marching, don't you think? Before the walls come tumbling down. I think about our own lives, and I think about walls that have been built up in our hearts, in our relationships, in our lives. Walls that took weeks, months, and even years to build aren't necessarily going to come tumbling down in one day. It's like the couple that went to marriage counseling. They went one time and he refused to go back again. A good friend asked him, why aren't you going anymore? The fellow said, we tried it once and it didn't work. I ain't going back. Dismantling a mammoth wall is not the business of one and done, but it requires our faith, prayers, persistence, repetition, hope, and faith before God. Hey, one of my favorite movies is this one, The Shawshank Redemption. It stars Tim Robbins as Andy Dufresne and Morgan Freeman as Red. If you know the story, how many of you seen the movie? If you know the story, of course, Andy Dufresne is accused falsely of murder. He's thrown in prison. He'll be there for life. While in prison, he is abused. He's beaten within inches of his life regularly. He learns how to survive inside the walls. And yet then after 19 years, he eventually escapes by tunneling his way out of those prison walls, spoonful by spoonful, taking the dirt and putting it in his pockets, going outside then in the morning and dumping his pockets of that little bit of dirt through all those feet of walls that he has to work himself through. Spoonful by spoonful, he finds freedom. You see, it's not just one and done for us when it comes to facing our walls. And so first, don't give up on that. But most important here it is, do not give up on God. Sin has put a wall between us and God. And get this, it's not our tunneling out that gets us beyond the walls. It's God who came tumbling into our walls. That's the story of Jesus. And still fresh on our minds is Sutherland Springs, the church shooting from just a couple of weeks ago. True? It wasn't the people on the inside that tunneled their way out of that wall. They were stuck behind those walls, all of them destined to die. But help came from a very unlikely source. Help came from the outside in the form of this fellow right here. Talk about an unlikely source. Johnny Langendorf, who came out of nowhere to bring the help that was needed. You see, it is in the form of a very unlikely source, one that we know, Jesus as our Lord and Savior, whose birth we'll celebrate in just 5 weeks, that the hope and the help for sinners came not from within the walls, but from outside the walls. From heaven above to earth, he comes, a very unlikely source. And he keeps coming to us. He keeps tunneling our way to forgive us of our sins again and again and again, to help restore relationships again and again and again, to help us experience the freedom and peace that God intends for us to live. So may we keep Christ in the middle of our struggle. May we seek to obey God's way of doing things over our way of doing things. And may we continue to see Christ tunneling towards us to move the walls we see and to move the walls in me. Amen.